Great song.
What Never the hell thought, is it being played
oh,
for?
Oh, mate. Dave Davidovic, the chief soccer writer for the Herald Sun, joins us. G'day, Dave.
Great to see you two together, boys.
Good on Dave, you, buddy. A pleasure.
Tell us about this Horses song, mate.
What the hell are we playing that song for?
Well, end of the game on Friday night at Victory. Usually, you know, they've won and everyone's happy and whatnot. And Victory the Brave comes on, which has been their anthem from day dot in 2005.
Open to the sound of drum and must be the victory.
Fantastic
great
song.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Scotland the Brave.
Yeah.
So this week they've played it, all good. And then all of a sudden, Daryl Braithwaite's famous tune Horses comes on. I thought, this is interesting. The crowd has gone absolutely berserk.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Absolutely gangbusters. Mate, when the chorus kicked in, I thought the roof was going to come off the grandstand.
Has this been happening for a while? Because, I mean, 4-0 is a nice time to get something happening, right? So everyone's wrapped. To play Victory the Brave. Horses comes on. It's 4-0. Everyone's happy. If it was ever going to play it and get some kind of new tradition going, that was the time.
Yeah, well, you're not going to play it after a loss, clearly. Probably not a draw either.
Yeah. 4-0's a handy one.
I believe it's the second time it's been played. You know, there's a bit of conjecture about Victory the Brave at the moment with the fans, but Horses certainly proving to be more popular. I'm not sure of the origins of it from a Victory point of view. The only thing I can think of is, few metres down the road at the Precinct Hotel, I know that when Horses comes on, you know that it's basically junk time, to use a football analogy. It's stoppage time.
Precinct. They're flashing the lights. Get out of here.
It's the last song. This is your last chance to make hay, boys. So that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe the Victory fans go there afterwards. But if anyone knows, we'd love to hear from them.
Tell us, 9429-1116. What are you looking at, Half?
Boris in Bond Beach telling me, I started singing Horses in the Terrace. Anonymous says the South End's been singing it for weeks. Somebody else says become a fan hit after Bucks party from Victory. Main capo, Bucks party from Victory.
Yeah,
now
huge.
We sing it every game.
It's huge.
Well, it's interesting because Stand By Me, which they play at the start of the game, has really taken off. It's the Victory anthem, and probably two or so years ago, it really started kicking off. And now at the start of the game, it's an absolute
must.
Great.
Well, Friday night was huge, mate. A lot of sport on, so every time I click back, Victory kicked another goal in the first half an hour. We just catch the da, 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 da. This man, Kelly Allen, singing it, on the couches. Plenty happening, mate. Yeah. It's a very good atmosphere.
It's a great atmosphere. It's the best game day experience, certainly in the A-League. I mean, up there with the Wanderers. Wanderers has been fantastic, but certainly in Melbourne, compared to, the other codes. And NBL's fantastic and all these other sports. But in terms of your match day experience and atmosphere and all that, a Melbourne Victory game is still number one in my view.
You've written a good piece today in the Herald Sun. You can check it out, heraldsun.com.au, of course, in the physical edition in your front garden in the mornings. The Asian Cup squad for Victory. Now, I hadn't put this into the piece that you've done today, and you've done really made it simple for us as sports consumers to understand that there's got to be a few alterations, some cuts to the Victory squad for the Asian Champions League because of the international player rule.
That's right. So in the A-League, you can have 5 visa players. In the Asian Champions League, you can have 4. But one of those has to be an Asian. So effectively, it's a 3+1.
Okay.
Yep.
Victory doesn't have any Asian foreigners. So 2 of their superstar quintet must go. And Bessart Berisha, Mathieu Delpierre, Guy Finkler, Costa Barbarousas, Fahid Benkalfala, they're their 5 most important players right now.
Tell us about your formula. You've put the formula in the paper.
Yeah, I like this.
I read your article, but I didn't see the formula. Tell us how it works.
So basically, I've rated them out of 5 in form, durability, and importance to the team. No one's got the full marks, although Bessart and Berisha and Costa Barbarousas are closest. They're at 13. Then we've got Delpierre and Finkler at 11. Now, Delpierre, for me, is absolutely vital to them. Him and Berisha and Carl Valeri, who unfortunately is out at the moment. It's a toss of the coin between them being the most important player. But he really struggles with durability, so I only got 2 out of 5 there. But
he's my man in the centre of defence. I mean, he's that big unit, the hulking unit, very intimidating. Now, the Asian Champions League, probably they play different styles, not so much balls coming in from wide, so probably wouldn't be as relevant. But you were saying before, Dave, that if he played the ACL games, he probably wouldn't play the A-League games pre and post, which comes into Muskie and I suppose Victory's philosophy is, what do they want to win? They've got all the trophies from the Hyundai A-League. is the Asian Champions League where they were going to put all their eggs now, or is there still, because of the importance of the local competition, this is where they have to sort of balance their list a bit?
Look, they're as important as each other, these competitions, and the publicity that Victory are getting, and I think the Wanderers winning the Asian Champions League crown last time round has really given Victory more publicity. They've sold more tickets than they ever have before. I mean, they'll go close to filling Amy Park for these ACL games, so it's a bit of both. But the fact that they're sitting fifth on the A-League table, I mean, if they were sitting first, maybe they could have first or second, maybe they could afford to leave Del Piero out of the A-League squad and pick him for the Asian games. But now that they're fifth, they've really got to juggle both competitions carefully. So you're right, I mean, he's about to turn 35. They've had to manage him really, really carefully with his training loads and all that. So, you know, the long-haul flights and all that really knock the stuffing out of it. So they still can sign an Asian player who could maybe fit that bill, or the defensive midfield position, which takes a bit of heat off the back line. They could perhaps sign another attacking player, which means that you can afford to leave a Ben Kalfler and one of the other attacking players out. So they've got a week to go until the actual initial squad's submitted, but they can make up to five changes a week before their opening game, which is on, I think, February 24.
Tell me about this young fella, Stefan Nigro. Now, you've given him two votes, mate. Mm. First gamer, how often would you give a first gamer votes?
Very rarely. We're talking about it in the box. Probably the best debut, certainly in Melbourne, that we've seen since Craig Goodwin was plucked from obscurity to start for then Melbourne Heart against Melbourne Victory in a derby. And he was absolutely sensational at left back. He left soon after that to go to Adelaide United. But Stefan Nigro, he's a Ballarat boy. So Ballarat would be
fantastic. Wow.
Absolutely buzzing right now. He played for the Red Devils down there and great supporters of the local game. But he's actually a defensive midfielder, but they threw him in at right back. And not only did he play well, he put the ball through the legs of none other than Thomas Broich, the absolute A-League superstar, and flicked it over him another time, which is pretty dangerous.
So are we expecting to see him more often now than not? Or is this just sort of an introduction? You get a bit of a taste, see how you go, young fella, then we'll pull you out.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what to expect, but the fact that he played that well, he will get more games. I mean, Daniel Georgievsky was suspended, but he'll make the Asian Champions League squad now, and that might be the next game that he gets in the ACL.
Did you mention Carl Valeri before, the skipper? What's the update on him? Do we know any more about his condition?
Well, Kevin Muscat said January 18 was when they'd find out the latest test results, which would effectively determine where he's at. So I haven't heard anything at the moment. But look, the latest I heard was that he's really going to struggle to get back on the pitch this season. Inflammatory brain condition, which is very, very serious. He had balance issues and his health is, as we've stated and as Victory stated numerous times, is of most importance.
Absolutely.
But Kevin Muscat has to think about the football, and since Valeri's gone down, they have really, really struggled. Yeah. That's when they've been out of whack in terms of their balance in the team. So if he's not going to play again, guys, they really need to replace him with a quality defensive midfielder. He's the guy that does all the dirty work.
Mm. Too old for City. They went over to Perth. They got themselves a point. What are you seeing there? What's happening? And what's happening with the coach? What's going on with the coach?
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, they've stabilised. They're in fourth position. I think he'll see out the season. He's got another year to go where then they'll make an assessment. So effectively, it'll depend on how they go, whether they win it, get to the grand final, semi-finals, which is what they made last year. Perth's always a tough trip, and it was 35 degrees, so it wasn't the greatest game to watch. But they're going to be doing a lot of business this January, boys. I think there's going to be a bit of a mini turnover of the squad, as there was last season. But last year it was about them just getting into the top six. This year it's about them winning the title. That's what they're aspiring to.
I want you to tell us about Brisbane after the break as well. Top of the table, 4-0 defeat. That's no good.
Not at all.
Hey, for Dream Street, home loans and Super Trip. Oh, the stars here, Dave Davidovic. And the Joker has just defeated Chungi in straight sets at the Australian Open. It's got to be his nickname, hasn't it? Has to be.
Application to adhere to a structure and some tactics was superb, and that's a type of performance when we combine all those things that we can produce. Having said that, now it's one game. As per usual, we'll recover, or we'll watch it, we'll analyse it as a group, and we'll move on.
Way up in the sky, little darling. That was Kevin Muscat. They're pretty happy with themselves just at the moment, suggesting they're back. They're back, aren't they? They are back.
You'd think so. You'd hope so. It's very tight. I mean, there's 4 points separating first and fifth. First being Brisbane, fifth being Melbourne Victory. So it's going to be a really tight run home. I mean, there was a bit of lethargy about the early part of the season, but I'm really excited about the final 12 weeks.
They've fired that many bullets, though, the Victory, in the last couple of months, haven't they? Just been able to, haven't been able to hit the target a lot. They've had dominated control of game, possession, shots on target. Just haven't been able to score. And now we saw on Friday night, getting four. I imagine that it does a fair bit for the confidence. But they've been in the mix, haven't they?
They have, but what's concerned me, and I touched on Valeri before, the ease at which they concede goals. That's been the big issue. And you could see it on Friday night. They were two up after 11 minutes. And they were sort of, they were playing better, playing with more confidence than what they were in previous weeks. But it wasn't until they put that third one away where there was a real buffer. And I think deep down they knew we can't stuff it up from here. And then they went nuts. And then it was the victory of old. So Brisbane may have played them back into form.
Hey, I was starting to enjoy the John Aloisi story up there in Brizzy. It's a good one. Takes them on, gets them to the top, looking good, but got smashed, like we were talking about a little while ago. Who was missing? There must have been some players missing.
Yeah, they're missing a few of the Oli Roos boys who actually played a real part for the Oli Roos in their 2-0 win last night against Vietnam. They're, of course, playing their Rio 2016 qualifiers. So Jamie McLaren, who is Brisbane's top scorer, scored for the Oli Roos. He just gives them some real energy up forward, good player, and Brandon Borello as well, who scored a few goals for Brisbane. James Donaghy scored the other goal for the Oli Roos, but he hasn't played a lot of football for the Roar this season. But the two that I mentioned, they really do miss.
Chris has called in from Hawthorn. G'day, Chris.
How you doing, fellas?
Yeah, good mate. Chris. It's your turn to speak now.
You guys were asking where horses were coming from.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, so it's actually started, from what I've been told, there was a fellow who had his Bucks knife with a bunch of Victory fans, and they're having some sort of 80s theme. I'm not too sure. It wasn't them myself, but they started singing that, ironically, having a bit of laugh, and then that started getting going in the pubs the last few weeks, just before the games, because you guys were saying it's the last song of the night, so everyone seems to get around it. And then, I don't know if you guys know as much, but a lot of Victory fans aren't the biggest fan of Victory the Brave. They're not particularly... I feel it's a bit of an AFL-style song, in a way, and they don't really warm to it too well.
Mm. Yeah.
And warm to it.
I prefer horses.
Couldn't possibly.
I do. I love it.
Couldn't possibly. Victory the Brave's a great anthem.
Mate, if you've had a few beers and you're in a pub and horses comes on, I defy you not to have your hands in the air.
There's blokes hanging off the rafters.
I defy that to happen. Good on you, Chris.
I'm walking out of the pub.
So it's in pubs. You know,
well, there you go. Like a lot of things, and a bit probably like Stand By Me, no one really knows where it emanates from, but it's there and it's kicking goals.
You mentioned Melbourne City, the transfer action throughout January, what they might be doing. Last week, did you write that Robert Corrin could be a casualty?
That's right. So talks are underway between him and the club. So he's Melbourne City's marquee player along with Aaron Moy, of the highest paid players in the league.
How's he been playing this year?
Not great. He hasn't played a lot of football because he's been injured. He's had a few soft tissue problems as he did last season. So
on your durability scale, like you've done with the Victory Boys today, out of 5, what are you giving Robbie Corrin?
Oh, he'd be a 2. Right. He'd be a 2. Maybe even a 1, but maybe a bit harsh. You'd go 2. But there's clearly a bit of a breakdown in terms of trust between him and John Van Skip, the coach. So they've offered him a package. Not sure where it's at, but if they do move him on, every chance that Melbourne City, with their huge resources, will bring another marquee player. But not sure where it's at the moment. That you wouldn't rule out him staying until the end of the season, but they can afford to pay him out, and no permutations in terms of the salary cap because he's outside of.
Hey, 182 for Wellington. About 2 months ago, you're telling us that they might be in the comp anymore, but that's changed.
They're about to sign an agreement, a 4-year extension with some triggers in there that could extend it up to 10 years.
That's good, isn't it? We want that.
You want a bit of continuity because they were looking at a team from Southern Sydney to replace them if they fell over, but continuity is good, and Wellington have been okay in recent years, so happy with that.
Hey, welcome back to the Run Home 2016, mate. Catch you next time.
Boys, pleasure to be with you.
Dave Dubrovic is an absolute gun.